That's good stuff. Amen. I've never been disappointed in Jesus. Amen. I've been disappointed by some family, and I think the songwriter said forsaken by some friends, but I've never been disappointed in Jesus. Amen. Longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Amen. No complaints about Jesus. We can complain about a lot. Circumstances and trials and various different things going on in our world, but Jesus remains the same. Amen. Thank you so much for singing that song. I appreciate the song service and everything that's transpired this morning and even tonight. I felt God on that song. Amen. And I praise the Lord for His presence. Appreciate the message this morning, Pastor David. I told Brother Brian, I said, Brother David hit a grand slam. And I don't know if I try to hit a grand slam, I'll strike out. So I may just try to get up and get on base. But I want to be careful with this, because if I pull on it too much, I may end up injuring myself. I appreciate the message. I appreciate the passion that Pastor David preaches with, the conviction. It's what we need. And that, you know what? I've been blessed and fortunate enough to been brought up in a church where that's all I know concerning preaching. It's preaching that's Bible preaching. There's no apology. It's preached with authority, with conviction, and it gets the job done. I don't have to question if we need to change our methods or if we need to do something else, because I know that what happened this morning works. People get saved. God convicts. Christians get help. Jesus is honored. And I don't plan on making any changes. Amen. If it was good enough for our forefathers, it'll be good enough for us, and good enough for us to pass on to our children. Amen. So Brother Carl read in your hearing Judges chapter number 6. And I want to preach a message tonight out of Judges chapter 6 on overcoming idolatry. Overcoming idolatry. The last time I preached, I believe we talked about how to get victory over sin. And this is very similar. Living the victorious Christian life means that we're going to have to identify some idols that may be in our heart, and not only remove them, but replace them with someone better. That's Jesus. Judges, I want you to turn back just for some context to chapter number 2. One of my pet peeves with doctors, I don't go to the doctor much. My wife tells me all the time, you need to go to the doctor. But one reason why I don't go to the doctor is, and this may be unfair if you're here and you're a medical doctor, but one of my pet peeves is, I don't want to go to the doctor and just be given a pill to treat a symptom. Can I get an amen on that? If I'm going to a doctor, I want to figure out, okay, what's causing the problem? Let's get to the root here. Don't just give me a pill where I can just treat the symptom and feel a little bit better and the pain doesn't go away. My wife struggles from time to time with migraine headaches. And for those of you that can feel her pain, she's went to the doctor and they give her pills, right, to help. And I'm not against taking pills. If I've ever had a migraine, I'm sure I would take a pill too. But I keep telling her, ask her, what's causing those things? Right, there's got to be something that's causing her to have them. And I see some of you got the answer figured out, so we're going to get you some help tonight, honey. She paid me some money to say that before I opened up, but just kidding. But I'm not concerned about treating symptoms tonight. And God's not concerned about treating symptoms in our life. He wants to get to the root of the matter. God wants to get to the heart of the problem in our life. And many times, if we're honest with ourselves, the problem's idolatry. And man, I realize that is maybe a scathing rebuke. But listen, I'm not interested. I don't want to make any enemies, but I'm not interested in just smoothing things over and telling you something to make you feel good. If we're going to have revival and we're going to get close to God, we're going to experience God's power and God's presence, we need God to expose some idols in our lives so we can remove them and replace them with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the goal. That's the goal tonight, is to overcome idolatry. You've turned back. I asked you to turn to chapter number 2, and let's begin reading in verse number 11. This is kind of a commentary on the book of Judges. This gives us an idea of what the book's about. If you know anything about the book of Judges, It's a book that goes through cycles, and all of the cycles are very similar. The cycles are that Israel sins, and because of their sin, God delivers them into the hands of their enemy. They serve that enemy. The sin always puts us in bondage. And then after they get tired of the bondage, they get tired of the circumstance, then they pray, they supplicate, and they ask God for help. And really what Israel's asking in many cases is, God, fix the symptoms. I don't like the symptoms. They're never interested in God fixing the idolatry, but they're just asking God to take the pain away. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. And then after they cry, God shows mercy, and God raises up a judge, and God sends deliverance, and God brings an earthly human savior. And it's that cycle. The book of Judges goes through that cycle seven times. Chapter number 2 kind of highlights that cycle. Look, if you will, verse number 11. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam." That's just the plural form of Baal, the false god. "And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger." Influence was very important. They began to be conformed to whatever god the people around them were serving. So influence is a very important thing. Verse number 13, "And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so." And you can read on and on. But basically, this portion of Scripture is giving us a summary of what the entire book is going to be about. God told them when he delivered them out of Egypt, "I want you to destroy the false gods of the Canaanites. I want you to wipe them out. The men, the women, the children, the false gods. Exterminate the false religion, and you are to worship me and me alone." He told them in the Ten Commandments that he was God, and they were not to make any images. They were not to put any other gods before him. And that was God's warning. We know that as they began to take the land in the book of Joshua, they were supposed to eliminate their enemies, but we know that they did not eliminate all of their enemies as God commanded. And God warned them that if they did not eliminate all of the enemies, that those enemies would be a thorn in their side and would cause them problems all the days of their life. And here we see that that came to pass, and that's where we find ourselves in the book of Judges. God's people living in a wicked society that is having its effects upon their life, and they're suffering the consequences. Now, if you were kind of reading into that and listening, that could be the explanation of a lot of lives maybe represented here tonight. We all live in a wicked world, and if we're not careful, the influences of this world and the gods that this world worships, we'll start bringing them into the house of God, and we'll start bringing them into our house, and we'll start giving our devotion, our love, our affection to those gods other than the God who's worthy, the God of the Bible, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I could sum up the message in one sentence, it would just simply be this. We've got to identify the idols, and we got to replace them with God. But I'm going to preach a little bit longer than that. But if I could boil it down to one sentence, that's what I want you to go home with. I've got to identify some idols. You say, "I don't have any idols." Well, maybe you don't. And I'm going to tell you what, they're tricky. And if you've been living long enough and you've been trying to serve God long enough, you know there's been time to time in your Christian experience to where God will reveal an idol. And you say, "Wow, I didn't realize that thing, that object had such control over my thoughts, had such control over my affections, had such control over my time." And God tonight wants to identify some of those things and replace them with something far better. Something far better tonight. Now, back to Judges chapter number 6. Israel, they're in a bind. Brother Carl read chapter 6, verse number 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now, I want us to read verse number 2 down through verse number 6. And I want you to see the difficulty that God's people are going through because they simply chose to worship false gods. They simply chose to worship idols. Verse number 2. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Now, how about that? Because of this people, Israel, they were making caves. They were digging out dens to hide from these people. Isn't that sad? God's people, the people that had God on their side, they were hiding from the enemy. And that's what idolatry will do for you, to strip all God's power away from your life. Verse number 3, and it was so when Israel had sown that the Midians came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. So Midian plants the crops, does all the labor, and the Midianites come in and reap the rewards. That goes on, verse number 1, for 7 years. Can you imagine how frustrating that must have been for Israel? Every year, they plow the earth, they plant the seed, and they are hopeful that maybe this time they'll get to enjoy the benefits of the harvest. But here come the enemy, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east, the Bible said, and they steal it away while Israel's hiding in dens and caves. What a sad commentary. Verse number 5, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number. They entered into the land to destroy it. Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now I want to say this before I get started too much. Listen, difficulty is going to come in our life for various reasons. Okay? So I'm not trying to say tonight that the reason why you're having a difficult time is because you're steeped in idolatry. But I'm not going to say that that's not the reason why it's difficult either. Okay? That's between you and God. Okay? Sometimes things are difficult because we just live in a sin-cursed earth. Things are tough. The world around us is cursed. We work with sinful people. We're just surrounded by sin on every hand. There's an enemy we heard about this morning. There's a deceiver. There's one that would throw his fiery darts at us. And so that may be why things are difficult. But let me say also that it might be tonight the reason why things are difficult is God's trying to get our attention. God has sent Midian, God has sent that difficulty, not to make us miserable, but to wake us up and to show us some things that'll help us in our Christian life to get closer to Him. You see, God didn't send Midian to hurt Israel, to punish Israel, to punish and to hurt them. He sent Midian to Israel to wake them up, to shake them out of their idolatry. So the first thing that I want to talk about tonight is identifying our idols. Now you say, well, Brother Brandon, what's an idol? Well, it could be various things. An idol is not necessarily an image made of stone or gold that we would have set up on our mantle at home. Listen, if I had to guess, I would say I don't think anybody in this building has an image of stone or wood set up in their home that they're bowing down to and worshiping. But I'll say this, anything or anybody that gets more affection, more time, that you take more pleasure in than Jesus Christ is an idol. Anything. It could be something good. We heard that this morning. God can take a person. God can take a family member, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a grandchild. And if we think about that individual more than we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an idol. It's an idol. It could be a game. It could be a video game. It could be a sport. It could be a hobby. It could be a job. It could be a money. Listen, anything can become an idol if it gets more of our heart than Jesus has got. It's an idol. You say, well, I don't think it's that big of a deal. You haven't read the book of Judges. I tell you, by the time you get to the end of this book, it has completely destroyed this nation. Completely destroyed this nation. They're at civil war with each other. All because of idols. All because of idols. See, they still thought they were all right because they had a form of godliness. Hey, we're the children of Israel. We're God's chosen people. Yeah, but idols are killing you. Hey, we're Christians. We live in the Bible Belt. Yeah, but your idols are going to kill you. And they're going to ruin your family. They're going to take away your joy. Right? They're going to rob you of victory over sin. We got to overcome the idols. So let's identify them. Now, number one, idols can be very difficult to identify. That's what I want you to understand. Okay? Why do I say that? Well, Israel never identified that their problem was idolatry. Through the entire book of Judges, 21 chapters, seven generations, seven cycles, they go through this. And every time, God's trying to get them to understand, hey, your problem is not the Midianites. Your problem is not the Amalekites. Your problem is not the Canaanites. Your problem's Baal. See, tonight, if we're not careful, we'll think, oh, my problem's my job. My problem is my financial situation. My problem is what's going on in my family. My problem, what I really need help with, God, is my physical condition. It might be tonight your problem's Baal. It could be tonight that God's trying to use the difficulty and the circumstances that I've mentioned, not to get your mind on the circumstances, but to get your mind on an idol. Something that might be getting attention that doesn't need to be getting attention. You with me? They're difficult sometimes to identify. Turn, if you will, to chapter number 8. Judges 6, 7, and 8 are the story of the judge Gideon. We don't have time to talk much about Gideon, but God used this man in a mighty way to deliver the nation of Israel. 300 men. God whittled that army down to 300 men, and they eventually wiped out the Midianites and the enemy. And the lesson there is that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. But let's read and see what happens here at the end of the story. When Gideon is laid to rest, Judges 8, verse number 32, and Gideon the son of Joash died in a good old age. He was buried in the sepulcher of Joash's father in Ophrah of the Abazarites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. The children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had shown unto Israel. How about that? After everything Gideon had done, after all the mighty works that God had done through the hand of Gideon, when they laid him to rest, as soon as he was dead, the Bible says, Israel's heart turned immediately toward those gods again. You see how controlling idolatry is? And listen, newsflash tonight, okay? I believe it was a Puritan writer that said this, the human heart is an idol factory. An idol factory. We were created to worship. We were created to give our affection, our adoration to someone, to something. And if it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to an idol somewhere, something. You're going to worship something. You're going to worship someone. Soon as Gideon was dead, man, their heart revealed itself for what it really was. They never got over it. The book of Judges ends with saying that in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Terrible commentary on this book. Now, back to chapter number 6. And I want you to focus on this again, because this has been true in my life. There's been times in my life God has been trying to reveal an idol. God's been trying to expose a sin, something in my life that's getting more attention than it should. And God's going to use a circumstance. He's going to make life difficult for a little while until He gets our attention. That's the way God gets our attention many times. And if we're not careful, all we're concerned about is the difficulty of the circumstance. All of our communication with God is, God, treat the symptom, right? God, make the pain go away. God, help me in my family. Help me in my job. Help, and just a thousand other things. They're all symptoms. When God's really trying to let us understand, that's not the problem at all. It's Baal, right? It's that hobby. It's that dollar bill. It's that retirement. It's that football. It's that hunting season, right? It's that fishing. That's right. Spending money, right? Some people are addicted to that. Pleasure. Could be a thousand other things. In and of themselves, they're fine. But when that's all you think about, folks, it's a problem. It's a problem. I told Brother David this the other day, and listen, I'm not preaching against football, okay? I enjoy football. But you can't tell me the devil's not behind something that is going to get a Christian as soon as they leave the house of God. I mean, as soon as they leave the house of God, to go straight to their home, turn on a television, and watch 5 hours. It's on up until time we leave for church, right? 5 hours of football. Right? We just heard the Word of God preached. Man, the seed was just sown in our heart. If we're not careful, man, everything that has been sown in our heart, man, it's taken away just like that. You can't tell me the devil's not behind that. And now, guess what? We're going to go home tonight. Guess what's on? Sunday night football. Right? Now listen, it's not a sin to watch football. But man, if that's stealing out everything that God's put in here on Sunday morning, I'd seriously consider turning the TV off. Amen. It's not worth it. I don't know about you, but I can say for me, it's not worth it. Hey, I don't want to sacrifice the power of God on my life for a football game. I don't want to sacrifice the power of God on my life for pleasure, for a job, for anything. Nothing should go in the place of God. Amen. So Israel was concerned about the Midianites. They were never sorry about Baal. Not one time do we read in the book of Judges where they repented of the idolatry. It was always, God, deliver us from the enemy. God, our life is so hard. We're so miserable. God, help us. And He did. And He did. So He tried to put them through another circumstance. Isn't God gracious, though, like that sometimes? God will even help us, and He'll make life better for a little while if we ask Him. But it might be He's trying to expose some idols tonight. Look what they said. We read verse number 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Man, this was causing them a lot of pain. Now, I want you to notice, verse number 1 says, the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. Right? God did that. Almost like a gift. It was a good gift. Can I tell you, it's a glad day in your life when you can look back, and I'm not saying you rejoice in the times when God sent Midian, but there's times in our life when we can be thankful that God sent Midian to us to get our attention. Made us miserable for a little while. Because I'm going to be honest with you, that's often what it takes. If God's ever going to get your attention, if God's ever going to get the affection that He deserves in our life, it's probably going to mean that He's got to get us pretty miserable. Verse number 6 says, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now notice verse number 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, notice this, because of the Midianites. Right? That's what they thought it was. Lord, it's these Midianites. That's what the problem is. Well, We've already read Judges chapter number 2 what the problem was. It wasn't Midian at all. God delivered them into the hand of Midian. The problem was the idolatry. The problem was the idolatry. Could be true in our life. Midian was not the problem. They were God's tool. Now I want you to notice how God deals with this. This is good stuff. Came to pass, verse 7, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. Now, I want you to notice what God does. Verse number 8, that the Lord sent a prophet. Preacher shows up. Can't you see the children of Israel now? They're greatly impoverished, man. Midian, for 7 years, has ravished the land, taking anything they wanted. Israel's hiding in dens and caves. They're miserable. They're greatly impoverished. They cry to God. God sends a preacher? Can't you see them now? They're asking God for help, and the preacher shows up. They're probably scratching their head saying, what are you going to do? How are you going to help us with our crops? How are you going to help my situation? But can I tell you, that's often God's method. See, God tonight, He may not send the money. He may not send the cure. He may not send the job opportunity. He may not fix the family situation. But He might send a preacher. That's what He did in the book of Judges. They cried, they needed help. And God sent a prophet, verse number 8, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Thank God for the times in my life when God sent the prophet. Amen. Thank God for times in my life. Hey, listen, I didn't need my circumstances fixed. I didn't need to feel better. I needed a man of God to stand up and expose the idolatry in my heart so that I could get back to the place where I needed to be to experience God's blessing. Amen. Thank God for the preacher. Amen. Thank God for the times in my life when I've opened God's word and God said, Brandon, your problem's not the Midianites. Your problem's Baal. Amen. Just saying, could be tonight that the problem's not the circumstance. Might be the idols. The Lord God sent a prophet, verse number 8, to the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt. Brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of all the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. It's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? That was God's cure for what was ailing them. He sent a prophet, and the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, I brought you up out of Egypt. I told you not to worship false gods, but you did not obey. Nothing was said of Midian, right? God told them right here, your problem's idolatry. They still didn't get it. After Gideon's dead, back to other gods, back to idols, right? You see, it's difficult sometimes to identify and admit. Come on, let's be honest. It takes some humility to admit, I got some idols in my life. Man. That is not a fun place to be when God's dealing with you. I know from experience. Just to think that there's something that is insignificant when compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet I'm worshiping that. It's getting my attention. It's getting my desire. It's getting my affection. Right? It's not a fun place to be. But it's necessary for us to humble ourselves enough to admit, God, this area, I need your help. There's idols that I need your help with. Identifying our idol. God's solution for sin and idolatry is preaching. It's the Word of God. Now, something else I want you to see before we continue is God's primary concern is not our comfort. Don't we think that's something? That's our primary concern, right? I mean, man, that dominates our prayer sometimes. God, just make me comfortable. I'm miserable, God. And can I tell you, sometimes He does. He's the God of all comfort. Thank God for that. Listen, He'll bring comfort in tribulation, but can I say that maybe, just maybe, the reason why He hasn't brought comfort is because He's not concerned about making you comfortable right now. He don't want you to think about getting comfortable. He wants you to think about Baal. He wants you to get rid of Baal, right? So maybe something to consider. So I've been praying about this situation for a long time, Brother Brandon, and God hasn't done anything. It might be time to start looking for bail in the closet. Amen? Number two, so not only identifying the idol, we got to replace the idol. We got to replace the idol. Now notice, I didn't just say remove the idol. You can't just remove the idol. You got to replace it with Jesus. Because if you just remove it, another one's just going to come in and take its place. Now, let's skip down. And I want you to skip down. We'll pick up in verse number 25. And let's see what happens here. Between the verses that we've read, God appears to Gideon. And we have the call of Gideon. And God says, Gideon, I've got a job for you to do. Paraphrasing there. And God gives Gideon some assurance. God meets with Gideon. And here's what follows in verse number 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, God speaking to Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. How about that? God says, Gideon, you want to do something for me? First test. Go take care of that altar. Go take care of Baal there in your father's backyard. I want you to do that first. Verse number 26. But not only remove it, look what he said. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. Gideon, I don't want you to just remove your father's idol. I want you to replace it. And I want you to build an altar to me. Now Gideon, before I can use you in public, I need to make sure that you can practice this at home. It's a good lesson for us all, isn't it? Gideon, but before you try to address any idolatry with Israel, let's address the idolatry in your backyard. So he sends him home to do this. Then Gideon, verse number 27, took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now there's a lot said, a lot of commentaries written about how Gideon's a coward here. And listen, God didn't tell him he had to do it by day. The bottom line is he did what God told him to do. He got it done. He said, well, I would have done it in broad daylight. Well, maybe you would. Gideon didn't, and it still got the job done. Let's read. Verse number 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Uh-oh. They woke up the next morning and seen Baal was gone. Somebody did away with their god and put an altar to Jehovah there. They said, who did this? They said, Gideon did it. They said, well, bring him out. Let's pick up in verse 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Now let me say this. You get serious about replacing some idols, it's going to bring some resentment. It's going to bring some resentment. It wouldn't be called an idol if it didn't have some effect upon people's lives. Fathers, you go to try to start removing an idol underneath your roof, you might find some resistance. Mothers, you try to remove some idols from your children's lives, and yes, young people have idols too. Baal is not just for adults, Baal is for young people. And he looks like, in a lot of homes, an apple, iPhone, right? Or a tablet, right? That's called Baal in a lot of places. Hey, listen, Mom, you know what? You might find some resistance when you try to replace the idol. You might find some resentment. They're ready to kill Gideon. It meant that much to them. Can I tell you, man, people get fighting mad you start dealing with their idols. How dare that Brandon talk about my football, right? He's not even a man of God, right? I can't believe he said something about hunting or fishing. There's nothing wrong. Listen, maybe that's the problem if you're getting so mad about it. Right? Amen. My father-in-law used to say, hey, listen, you might preach me to an altar, but you're not going to preach me to the house. I like it. Amen. Sometimes God's going to expose some idols. If we're not careful, man, we'll get mad. Right? And if you take a stand for God at work or in public, people are going to resent you. You know why? It's exposing their idolatry. You say, hey, you know what? I'm going to spend my Sunday in the house of God. I'm going to spend my Wednesday evening at church. I'm going to spend my Saturday on the bus route. You know what? They'll start to resent you for that. Because you're exposing their idolatry. Right? I remember when I was in kindergarten. What are you laughing at, Stacy? It wasn't too long ago. Amen. I remember when I was in kindergarten. And they would ask us, but my family was involved in the church pretty heavily at that time, and they asked us, what do you like to do on Saturday? And all the response from the children was, many of them was either play sports or watch cartoons, right? That's what kids did on Saturday morning. They got up and watched cartoons. They came around to me. You know what my response for what was? We worked the bus route. I said, I go on visitation. I didn't know any better. I didn't know that what I was saying was something special. But man, those kids looked at me like, visitation, what is that? Right? I was exposing their idolatry. Listen, when we begin to replace our idol, it's going to bring some resentment. But not only is it going to bring resentment, it might bring revival. Notice what happened next. They were mad. But notice Joash, this is Gideon's father, verse number 31. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. I believe a little revival came to Gideon's house that day. You know what? Gideon took a stand and it fired up Daddy. Amen. Opened up Dad's eyes to some things. Gideon chose to, hey, I'm going to replace some things, some idols with the Lord Jesus. And it got Dad's attention. And Dad said, hey, we're not going to stone Gideon today. There's not going to be any of that going on. Tell you what, let's stone everybody that'll stand for Baal. You going to plead for Baal? I mean, just like that, he got right with God. Isn't that amazing? You know, God, listen, it doesn't take a 5, a 10 step, a 3-month plan to get right with God. You can get right with God just like that if you'll replace the idol with Jesus. And man, Joash said, hey, Baal, he's a god. Listen, if he's going to defend, let him defend himself. Right? Isn't that what Elijah said? If Baal be God, worship Baal. If Baal's God, let him call down fire from heaven. Maybe he went on a journey. Right? What's that job done for you? What's that hobby really done for you? What's that thing really done for you? Saved you? Has it really brought you that much joy? Only Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can save from sin. Give lasting joy. Lasting peace. It's convicting to know that there's times in my life when I give my worship to things that are far less important and valuable than Jesus is. Caused revival in Gideon. They gave him a new name. They called him Jerubbaal. You know what that basically means? Baal crusher. Baal destroyer. You know what we need in some churches today? We need some Jerubbaals.
Amen.
Amen. We need some idol crushers. We need some people that'll take those idols and replace them with prayer. Take those idols and replace them with Bible study. Take those idols and replace them with witnessing. Take those items and just replace them with, God, I want to spend time with you. God, I want to love you. I want to have affections towards you like I do this idol. That's what we need. I tell you what, it'll bring some resentment. I promise you, it might bring some revival. God knows we need that. We need revival. I praise God for what he's doing. Fellowship Baptist Church. But I think we could use some of this going on in homes. Don't you? Now listen, Baal comes in many forms. Jesus has many substitutes. What are you trusting to provide for your needs? I thank God for my job. I do. I thank God for my job. I don't always like it, but I thank God for it. Puts food on my table. Amen. But Virginia Linen Service is not paying my bills. He is. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. I'm not going to worship Virginia Linen Service or a job. Amen. Let's trust God to meet the need. I thank God for my house. I thank God for my landlord. I'm not going to trust Mr. Willard or the house that I live in on 112 Maple Drive to provide the protection that I need. If I were you, I wouldn't even trust Smith & Wesson. I might own him, but I wouldn't trust him to provide the protection that I need. That's God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. I enjoy some recreation, some sports from time to time, now and then. I don't want him to replace God. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Amen. I'm afraid that verse doesn't mean anything to some folks. Do you hear what that verse is saying? In God's presence, at his right hand, there's pleasure. There's fullness of joy. Where is it? Hey, where is it? What are you counting on to satisfy your soul? Is it bringing lasting joy? I read something this week that convicted me. I've been guilty. I told my Sunday school class so many times during my devotion time, just sitting down, opening my Bible, and reading. Just kind of rushing into it. Check that box. Did my devotions. Usually when I do that, I get very little. About the only thing I normally get is just a soothing of my conscience a little bit. Feel a little bit better about myself. Say, Brother Brandon, how am I going to make this a reality in my life? How am I going to replace the idol and enjoy Jesus Christ like I enjoy this idol? Can I tell you, man, people go crazy over the things in this world. Wouldn't you love to see them? Or wouldn't you like to experience going crazy for Jesus? You say, oh, well, that's not spiritual. Paul said, we're fools for Christ. Wasn't he accused of Paul? Much learning doth make thee mad. Would to God we'd just go crazy for Jesus. We just couldn't help ourselves. We got to talk about it. I read something this week, and the man was saying, how do I get help? I want to replace the idol. I want the joy. I want the passion. I want it to be there. And the advice was, it's very simple, very simple. Just one thing. Before you open that Bible, I'm assuming that you have Bible devotions, but before you rush into it, spend some time in prayer. It's that simple. And with as much fervor as is within you, beg God, God, be real to me. I need your presence. I need you, God, to speak to me through your word. Make yourself real. Just something simple like that. Can I tell you, every time I've done that, it's worked. Just that simple. Man, God makes himself real. And there's something that starts going on in here. I can't explain. But I just know that the time always just goes away, and I always have to leave my study a lot sooner than I want to. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a while tonight. I'm going to ask you a question as the pianist comes. Is God real to you? Is there anything in your life that comes before or maybe is standing beside the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it truly that has your heart? What's on the throne tonight where Jesus ought to be? Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts this invitation. I pray that your will would be done. I pray that you would identify through the ministry of your Holy Spirit the idols that are in our life and in our heart. Help us, God, to be awakened to your value, your eternal worth. May we worship you. May you have the rightful place in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I turn it over to you.